That's I don't know what that's really saying to you, Amy, but it's great. It's great to see you this morning. And I'm going to introduce Brad to you in a minute. Brad and his daughter Sophia is with us, and his wife Beth and our other daughter Emma is in our D3. Beth is speaking this morning, and next week we'll reverse the order of well, it's not an order. No. And this is Brad's and Beth's second time with us, the kids' first time, but they came over last year. I met them prior to last May, 2 years ago, and through a friend of ours, and we've become mates. And I've talked to him more than I've talked to my brothers and sisters in the last 2 years. You know when that happens, and you're like, "Hell, where did this crazy dude come out of?" But he's a heart for Ireland. He's a heart for our church in Liberty, and I believe he's heard from God to deliver something to us this morning, as has Beth in our D3. And this guy is a bit wild to hang around with. You know, like he got me into trouble the last time I was in America with him, and I'll have to tell you this story privately because it's not fitting for up here, you know. But let's just pray. And you're very welcome, Brad, and so is Sophia, to this place. And they love Ireland. They love our bread and the butter. All the things that we take for granted, they like, "Oh, go, oh yeah, bread is nice over here." And but let's pray. Father, we want to hear from you, Lord. And we thank you for your word, oh God. And we thank you that it's bread to us. And it's encouragement and it's edification, Lord. And it directs us and guides us, Lord God. And Lord, your word says at the entrance of your word, there is light. And we just thank you for revelation, Lord, and of your heart towards the people, Lord, in this church and the people of this place called Bray, Father. Lord, we love you. Bless Brad as he brings your word in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. This is Bradley. Give it up for him. Come on.
Stop it. Stop it. Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you. I honor Pastor Noel. We were talking the other day. And when you come to visit somebody, you might as well talk. Otherwise, it's very uncomfortable. And we were talking the other day. It's hard to believe that we have only known each other for 2 years. Because when God knits someone into your life, and you're like, God is, he has knitted me with a family member in my life. Have you ever had that happen? You just know. If you feel like you've been friends for a lifetime. And it's a connection of the Spirit. So very honored to be here. And I couldn't get Rob and Patrice to stay in the country when I came in. So they flew out. So and thankfully, Andy mentioned that Penny has her hands. I did notice some fingers were a little smaller. So that is where finger foods come from, if you've kind of wondered about that. Who's getting married next week? And you're believing for an outdoor wedding. So you are the faith woman of the house. This is the lady that needs to lead the prayer team right here. Anybody that can believe for a nice sunny day, for a full day in Ireland, is the person that needs to lead the prayer team. And I'm not even being facetious. I am being serious. There's a story told in the States. It's a true story, even though a pastor told me. And when pastors tell you a story, you have to double check. Can I get a name? You have to double check. But there's a story that was told in the turn of the century, in the early 1900s, in the Midwest, in the United States. You're familiar with the States. Sophia and I are from Missouri, just outside St. Louis. And just to the west of the state of Missouri is Kansas. And they were in a major drought. There had been no rain for about 70 days. Can you even fathom that here in Ireland? So a drought, no rain for about 70 days. And the farmers just knew all their crops were going to be completely destroyed. And a church said, "Let's have a prayer meeting. And let's believe God to send rain." And they gathered together to pray. One farmer came with an umbrella. Now think about that. A farmer come in the middle of a drought. He came carrying an umbrella. That's a man of faith. That's someone that was expecting God to answer. And the Lord gave me a couple of thoughts for you guys this week. I've actually been praying for you for the last 14, 15 days. And I really believe the Lord gave me something that's for this church at Bray. It's for Liberty, obviously, but this isn't something I'm going to be sharing at RD. It's not something that I'm sharing at Clondalkin. This is something that I'm going to share with you. And I'm just going to present this before you. I know you're people of prayer. I know you're people that love Jesus. And I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to let you kind of, as we would say, wrestle with it or chew on it or decide if this is from the Holy Spirit. Now, thankfully, in the Old Testament, when somebody gave a word from God, if it wasn't from God, you could stone them. You remember those days? Thankfully, we're in the New Testament. So that responsibility doesn't fall on me. Okay? You can't go, well, that's not from God. We're going to kill that guy before he gets out of the country. I share the word, and it's really up to you. You're the priesthood of believers. It's up to you to go, are we really hearing this from the Lord? Is this really something? Because we all have the Holy Spirit. How many know that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit? And I know that you don't own the facility that we're meeting in today, but it's not about going to church. It's about being the church. And I think it's interesting that Paul really shared that message in the city of Corinth. In Corinth, they had huge temples to Aphrodite. They had huge temples to Apollos, these magnificent structures. And as the people were beginning to come to Christ, they kind of were intimidated by the temples that were around them. And Paul wrote that group of people, and he says, don't be intimidated. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple. That's where the presence of God dwells. So I'm very grateful that we get to use this space today, but I recognize that his presence doesn't just stay here when we leave. Every one of us are carrying his presence because he lives in us. Now, Pastor Noel's on live stream. I didn't know he was going to do that, so he's going to have to hear this later on live stream. I want you to know that I honor Noel and Sharon. I honor them. They carry an anointing of the Holy Spirit. They carry a favor of God. And that means there's a lot of stories that go behind that. You can see someone with an anointing and want the anointing, but you don't necessarily want the 25 or 30 years of what they went through to get it. And so I honor them. They have more stories than they've ever told me. And I know that because you can feel it on them. And I do want to take a moment and introduce my daughter, Sophia. We went Team Jean Jacket today. We're the Team Jean. And I was going to sit next to Sean, but I thought three of us in denim in a row, you might think we were starting like a singing group or something. And you definitely wouldn't want, I don't know about you, Sean, they wouldn't want it from me. They definitely wouldn't want the singing from me. So Sophia is 12 years old. And she was playing with Ben before service today, and I know she'd love to get a chance to meet you, but I just wanted to mention that. This is a word for Bray. Jot down or thumb, however you want to do it, whatever you feel like the Lord is giving to you. Bray, the Lord has strategically located you. You are a city on a hill, and you are to shine forth to this nation and through this nation. God is getting ready to do something here that's going to shine so brightly that it's going to make it impossible to be visible. He's going to do something so visible that to deny it is to look foolish. I'm going to say that again. What God is getting ready to do in Bray, that for someone to deny it, they will actually look foolish. It would be as though we were watching God raise someone from the dead, and someone would be standing to the side going, oh, well, they weren't even dead. And the rest of us would be looking at him going, are you kidding me? Can you not recognize what is happening in front of you? There was a day in the city of Bray that to sense a move of God, you had to have great discernment. I want you to know that God is getting ready to pour out his Spirit in such a way that discernment isn't needed to know that there is a move of God. It's going to be visible to our eyes. It's going to be visible to our ears. The Lord spoke to me about the Apostle Paul when he was in Ephesus. If you know anything about Paul when he was in the city of Ephesus, God's word says this, that God did extraordinary miracles among them. What kind of a miracle is extraordinary? I mean, Jesus came. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He cured the leprous. He restored families. And yet those were just miracles. What kind of a miracle would God's word say is extraordinary miracle? Man, that's not just a miracle. That's an extraordinary miracle. That's what's getting ready to take place in Bray. It's getting ready to take place through the prayers of the sons and daughters of God that are in this faith community right here. And ma'am, that you're getting ready to get married, I'm telling you, you're in that. God wants you to release your faith for the signs and wonders of God to be evident in the community that you dearly love. You don't have to argue with anything about what God is doing. You will demonstrate what God is doing. You're a city on a hill, I say it again, whose light is to shine forth to the nation and from this nation. God has put you in a place of strategic influence, which leads to the second thought. People come here for renewal. They come here for refreshing. They come here to step away from the city for a moment and enjoy the scenery and enjoy the fresh air. And the Lord would say to us, this isn't just a place of physical renewal. It's not just a place of physical refreshing. It's not just a place where people will physically lay their burden down. But this is a place of spiritual renewal. This is a house of spiritual refreshing. And I heard the word of the Lord when he spoke to the church in Laodicea. And he said that he wished that they were either hot or they were cold, but because they were lukewarm, he spit them out of his mouth. Now, if you were brought up in church at all, maybe you've even heard this verse taught on before. And I know how my pastor taught it when I was a kid. He said, God wants you hot or cold. He wants you in or out. He doesn't want you playing games. He doesn't want you on the fence. Either get in with God or get out. If you're on the fence, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. Now, it's a strategic yelling sermon, but it's not necessarily biblical. If you know anything about Laodicea, you know that they had cold springs of refreshing, and they had hot springs of healing. People would come from all over that area to the cool springs where they could refresh and they could relax. And then they would go to the hot springs because they believed that they had healing properties. They would soak in the mineral baths where they could be healed. The Lord was saying, will you be a cold spring of refreshing? A place where someone can come and be refreshed, someone can be renewed? Or will you be a hot spring of healing where somebody's body and their family can be liberated? But because you're neither, I'm spitting you out. The Lord says to Bray, you are a hot spring. You are a cold spring. You are a place where people can come and receive healing in their body. We spoke over Trevor today that the virus would completely leave us. Did I point at you, Trevor? Is Trevor here? Right. Okay, I'm looking at the wrong. You're not Trevor. You're standing in front of Trevor on guard for him. Trevor's right there. Trevor, they spoke the virus would leave your body today. And I'm glad that you're here today, but I believe as a sign to us today in Jesus' name that when we walk out of this place at 2:30 when you're normally done, when we walk out of this place, that you're going to sense the healing power of God flowing through your body, because this is a place of healing. People walk in here weary, but they walk out with smiles on their faces because of what God's doing on the inside. It's a place of healing. Remember when Jesus spoke the word and he said, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anybody will open the door, I'll come in and eat with them and they with me. How many of you have heard that verse before? Did you know that verse was referring to the church and not just an individual? My whole life I heard that God was standing at the door of my heart and he was knocking, wanting to come in. And believe me, he does want to come in. But the verse in context was to all of us. Now think about that. There's a couple of things that really stand out to me there. One, how polite is Jesus to be willing to say, can I come in? That's incredibly polite. But number two, how sad of a scenario to think that Jesus would actually be outside of his own church having to knock and ask for permission. Bray, are you willing to be the group of people that says Jesus doesn't have to knock on our door because our door is not closed to him? If he's not here, I don't want to be here. Moses said, God, if your presence doesn't go with me, then don't even send me. The Lord spoke to him. He says, Moses, I'm going to send my angel to lead you and to lead the people through the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but if that would have been me, I would have said, thank you, Lord, for the angel of the Lord. Let the angel lead and guide my family. But you see, Moses had already spent time face to face with God. And once you've spent time face to face with God, you don't want an angel. You don't want the other inhabitant. Why would I want Gabriel or Michael when I can have Yahweh Elohim, the I am who I am. And Moses said, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't even send us. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. Now, where were they headed? Were they heading on holiday? No. They were getting ready for 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years of eating manna, 40 years of being under the cloud by day and under the fire by night, 40 years of challenge. But even in the middle of the challenges, we can have rest if we have the presence of the Lord. May we never gather in his name without first of all inviting him the opportunity of being here and guiding everything. Jesus, Bray is not about liberty. Bray is not about me. Bray is not about you. Bray is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one that has a name that is above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what this house is about. You're a city on a hill with a light to shine forth to a nation. You're a city that's to help bring and release in the natural, in the spiritual realm, what people have typically come here for in the natural realm, refreshing and healing. And the Lord also dropped this in my heart. You're a city to influence Dublin rather than being influenced by Dublin. I'm not even sure what that means. But you're, rather than receiving the influence of Dublin, you're to be sending influence there. And I think you already do. I think the way that the Lord has designed things, that people come here for renewal, they come here for a weekend, they come here for an afternoon. I think it already shows that people come from the north, they come from Dublin to receive what the city can give to them, and then they take it back. And what they're getting ready to take back is refreshing and renewal and revival. Your city was ruled by a town council in 2014 when things shifted in government. Now, I don't know completely how it works now, but in 2014 is when it shifted from a town council leadership to a different type of leadership. And I feel like the Lord is saying that it's time for the church to step into that moment and to realize that you're actually the ruling members of this city because you carry the authority, or as they say in Dublin, the authority. You carry the authority of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You've been given the keys to unlock the kingdom right here in this community. The Lord says, ask me, and I will give you the keys to this city. Ask of me, and I'll give you the keys to this city. So God, in Jesus' name, we ask you for the keys to Bray. We ask you for the keys. Some of the keys might be a person or two. Some of the keys might be a location that you would have us to do another ministry. Some of the keys I don't even really know how to define because we need your revelation on that. But in Jesus' name, give us the keys to Bray, this city on a hill, a city that can't be hidden, a city whose light is to shine to this nation and through this nation. I thank you for the faith level that's in this community of believers right here, right now. I thank you for them. And I just pray that you'll begin to increase it even now in the name of Jesus. That you'll begin to increase it. You know, we're just going to move into a couple of things prophetically that the Lord's showing me. And I know moments like this are a little bit dangerous. Don't worry. God, he's so kind that none of this would ever be to embarrass anyone. So there will be different moments when I say, would you mind closing your eyes? And it's not because God shows up when we close our eyes. Did you know you can pray with your eyes open and it's okay? Especially when you're driving, I would encourage that, okay? We live by faith, but we drive with our eyes open. Amen? Okay. But sometimes when I do, I don't know what everybody else's reasons are, but when I have people close their eyes, it's really more for their privacy so that we're not all kind of looking around. Anybody, you have brothers or sisters, and when you would pray for the meal, did you ever have a brother or sister narc on you that you kept your eyes open? you know, Tony tapped it. And you're like, well, how did you know that you, right? And we all know, because the little weasel, not only did they keep their eyes open, but now they're tattling on you about it, right? So we know how this works. So I'm going to ask you, don't, you know, like, pretend to close your eyes and kind of, you know, don't do that thing. But there'll be a couple of moments where I'm going to ask you to, just because I feel like what the Lord's showing me is kind of private, and this is one of those moments. Would you mind closing your eyes for just a moment? I see a child in a bedroom, and honestly just sitting in the corner of your room at night and dreading the door to open. And I don't know if there was physical abuse or verbal abuse in that moment, but when you were a child, there were times you would go to bed at night and you were absolutely just fearful that that door was going to open. And I don't know if it was a brother that was going to come in and beat you up, or a dad that was going to, and I'm not making light of any of this, but it, honestly, it stole peace from you. And even to this day, when it's time to go to bed, you don't tend to feel very restful. You might be exhausted, but you don't feel peaceful. And the enemy is still, he still uses that to steal your rest. And I just feel like I'm supposed to pray over you. I'm not going to call you forward. We're not going to have people lay hands on you. But who is that that's in here that there's some bad memories associated with bedtime? And you, okay, is there anybody else? There might be more than one. You can put your hand down. I really feel like I'm supposed to pray for you, and I don't want to miss that opportunity. And believe me, one person is enough. God will stop a service for one person because he loves us that much. But if there's another person, I don't want you to miss this moment, because you're getting ready to really receive a healing from Jesus. Okay? All right. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you paused everything for your son. Your one son in this room that needs healing in this area. And in Jesus' name, I ask that you would come into these memories, and that your presence would just walk right into these memories, and that even in the middle of difficulty, we can know that you were there and you loved us. And I pray now, God, that any spirit of anxiousness or fear or abandonment, I ask in the name of Jesus that that would be broken off of your son today. Break it. Break it. And the enemy that has used that, he's kind of come in on the shoulder of that to bring accusation and that mocking spirit. You're never going to be normal. It's always going to be. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And we release the authority of heaven. The authority of heaven. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, we just speak healing and we release healing. Church, would you just release the peace of God with me? Just say, in the name of Jesus, I release the peace of God, the shalom of the Holy Spirit over my brother. Man, we just declare that you'll never have a moment's rest stolen from you again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I sense that somebody needs healing in your physical body, and I feel like it's on the left side, and I'm feeling it kind of in my hip and down into my lower upper leg. But if you need healing maybe in your side or your hip area, who is that that you need healing today? I want to pray for you, and I don't know if it's something that's seasonal, and when the weather changes that you really feel, maybe it's a sciatica, and I just need to call it out. Okay, all right. In Jesus' name, we release healing for your son, Lord. I thank you that we don't need seasonal pain because we have an ever with us God. And so in the name of Jesus, we just break that off. And if it's a sciatica, I just thank you that you touch our nerves and you heal them. And I release the kingdom of heaven right now into your son. In Jesus' name. Now, if you can test it, bro, test it. I don't know if it's bothering you right now, but if you can stand up or move it, see, what are you feeling in your body? Do you feel any pain at all right now? It's gone. Come on, church. This is what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. You could not be more specific with us, Lord, and we are so grateful for that. Listen, I don't just start throwing random things out there. I only do what I sense the Holy Spirit leading me to do, and you can do this too. You can absolutely do this too. There are times he gives gifts of healing. There are times that we just hear what he's saying. And I'll tell you one of the first times this happened. Well, not one of the first times. One of the times that it really stood out that this happened to me, I was in a worship service, and my wife, who you'll meet next week, who is a much better teacher of God's word than I am, I'll just put that out there right now. Her ministry style will be completely different, and you'll walk out going, I got educated today. I mean, it's amazing, okay? But we were worshiping next to each other, and I began to feel pain in my heart, and it got more and more intense. And I've never had a heart attack. By God's grace, never will. But I thought, I'm having a heart attack. And I reached over, and we're worshiping, and I grabbed her hand, and I said, hey, babe, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. She said, then we need to go to the hospital. But I'm a pastor, and I was on the front row. And how many of you know that you don't want to distract your church, right? So I'm like, well, let's not go during the middle of the song. It'll distract everybody. Like me having a heart attack on the floor wouldn't have, right? I mean, what's pastor doing? He's laying on the floor. It doesn't matter. You know, it's a great song. Let's just praise him. He is, right? But when I said that, I'm surprised, and you'll see once you meet Beth, I'm surprised she said, okay, well, wait a minute. That's not like my wife at all, okay? And she said, well, wait a minute. And the Lord said, are you having a heart attack, or am I speaking to you? And I said, well, then obviously, Lord, you're speaking to me. Bless you. But what are you saying? And it hit me. And I stepped up on the platform, and I said, I don't know who it is, but I discern somebody has enough pain in your chest right now that you feel like you're having a heart attack. And we had a lady there. It was her first time to ever visit our church on a Sunday morning. And she raised her hand. Which takes, as you know, as a guest, takes a lot of courage to raise your hand. And she said, it's me. And I said, well, in Jesus' name, that's leaving. And instantly that pain left. They're still a part of our church today, that's another miracle. Usually people get healed and move on.org. But she's still with us today, which is amazing. So there are times when I'm praying for people, I'll just begin to feel, and I literally begin to feel pain. And I knew, I didn't come in here with any pain in my body, but the Lord will use that to get my attention. And it's not always that way. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and your body just started hurting? Have you ever had that happen? I think sometimes there's spirits of infirmity that get assigned to us to hinder us, where the enemy will try to come and keep us from focusing in. But I think there are other times that we're actually discerning something that needs to be healed. As an example, I really feel, and it might be in the middle knuckle, but I believe you literally need healing in your knuckles today, and maybe in particularly the middle knuckle. I don't know if it's a former injury or if it's arthritis, but the Lord wants to just completely release your fingers. Does anybody have, like, joint pain in their fingers? Come on, don't be intimidated. We've already got, we got God touching us and healing us today. If you've got joint pain in your fingers, the Lord will absolutely heal that. Now, if I'm not hearing it, maybe it's because I've been squeezing the mic too hard. But I believe I'm hearing from the Lord that we're supposed to pray for somebody's fingers today for healing. And I don't know if there's been an old injury that never completely healed. Do you feel it in your hands? In your hands. Okay, because that's, I don't feel it in my arm as much as I'm feeling it in my hands. Okay? And you as well? Okay? And when we're hearing from the Lord, when he reveals something like this, this is part of our learning, we shouldn't have to scream out for it for like a day and a half. He revealed it so that we could agree for healing. Okay? So just lift your hand to the Lord, and we just say, God, we just lift our hand to you, and I thank you that you've revealed our need for healing in our hand today. And I thank you for my two sisters that have raised their hand. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will just remove all pain. If there's any arthritis, we curse it in the name of Jesus. If there's been injury, we just curse it, and we ask that you would release a fullness of healing to flow in Jesus' name. Amen. So be it. Give those, give them a squeeze. See if it's how much liberty are you feeling? Is it 10% better? Is it 50% better? What are you feeling? Does it feel better? You're smiling. That's always a good sign. Ma'am, how about you? Is it feeling better? Are you getting any more movement with that finger yet? Let's ask again. Let's just ask again. I know that even Jesus, one time, he touched a blind man, and when the blind man's eyes were open, remember what he said? I see men like trees. And so Jesus touched him again. If Jesus prayed twice, I guess it's okay for us to pray twice. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that my sister over here is already feeling better, and I pray for a complete healing. And now, Lord, for your other daughter here, Lord, we call back, just like you restore our spirit man and you give us renewal, you also do the same thing for our bodies. And in Jesus' name, I pray that whatever has been happened from this injury, I pray for things to be repaired and restored in the name of Jesus. And I ask for full mobility of those fingers, and in particular that pinky that looked like it was hanging back a little bit. We don't want him hanging back any longer. In Jesus' name, a fullness of healing. A fullness of healing, Lord. A fullness of healing. I pray that that left hand would be just as strong as the right. In the name of Jesus, we release healing. We release healing. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and do it again. In Jesus' name. Is it bending any better yet? You still need it to go straight down. It's bending, but it's going on an angle. It's like a salesman. It has an angle. Lord, I just ask that you will straighten that pinky. I ask that you'll straighten that pinky. I thank you for what you're doing, but I pray for a full restoration, Lord. You care about our pinkies. You care about our smallest fingers. You care about everything that we face. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would just do this for your daughter. Do this for your daughter right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Sis, you just keep working on that while we're having service, and we're going to see what happens before we leave. And Trevor's going to be feeling better before we... Like I said, we've still got an hour and 45 minutes. So what time are you guys typically done? What's that? About 4 o'clock? Thank you, Sean. What a good man. He doesn't tell the truth, but what a good man. What a good man. I'm just going to share a few verses with you. And if the Lord gives me anything else, I'll share it with you. But I really want to share a few verses with you. And you can jot these little thoughts down. I didn't send them to get on the projection, so I apologize for that. I didn't even think about it. I would have if I would have thought about it. Let me just remind you this about Jesus, that he didn't come to this planet, live a perfect life, die on a cross, get buried in a grave, ascend to the right hand of the Father, just so that we could be called a Christian, just so that we could go to service. He certainly didn't do that. As a matter of fact, did you know that Jesus never asked you to become a Christian? Let's have a little fun theologically for a second. Did you know that Jesus never said, you need to ask me to come into your heart? Now, the way that we've interpreted things lots of times now is we lead people in a prayer. Jesus, where do we ask him to come into? Our heart, right? As a matter of fact, the Hebrews didn't view the heart as the center of the person. You know what they viewed as the center? It was more your stomach and, honestly, more your bowels. Anybody remember the old country song that came out of the United States years ago? Oh, my heart, my achy, breaky heart. Remember that one? Can you imagine a Hebrew singing it? Oh, my bowels, my achy, breaky bowels. Baby, you just don't understand, right? I mean, it just doesn't carry quite the same context. But literally, it's because they believe that the center of who you are is down here. As a matter of fact, if you've ever noticed in the scriptures, sometimes it'll say, come to me with your full heart in prayer and in fasting. And you think, well, what does fasting have to do with my heart? Until you realize that in the Hebrew, it was, come to me with your full bowels. In prayer and in fasting, it's like the Lord was saying, don't fill yourself up with the temporary food. Give yourself completely to the spiritual food that I have for you. We use a phrase in the United States about having a gut feeling about someone. Is that a phrase that's used here? You ever have a gut feeling? You meet someone, you're like, I've got a gut feeling about that guy. I just don't trust him. And sometimes you're like, oh, you're judging too. But there are other times, how many just know in your knower? You just know when you know her. You know in your gut, okay? So Jesus never told us, hey, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you lived, that you died, that you rose. I mean, we all get the creed and the confession, but it wasn't something that Jesus in particularly put into Scripture. You know what Jesus said? He said things like this. Hey, Sean, follow me. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. Sean's like, I don't know what that is, but that sounds remarkable. Let's go fish for people. I think that sounds great. He would say to other people, hey, hang out with me and eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the disciples said, we're not going anywhere else because we don't know where else to go. But lots of other people walked away and said, this guy's got kind of a teaching that we don't really understand. Jesus says, follow me, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Think about that one. Follow me. The kingdom of heaven is near. The Greek word for kingdom is basileia. As part of the DNA of Faith Chapel, we say basileia. We say it incorrectly just because I like the way it sounds. Okay? So we don't say basileia there. We say basileia. Okay? You know what it means? If I'm holding this microphone that we actually turned on, which has been great since we turned it on, and I'm holding this microphone, and I want you to think of it almost as like a king's scepter. Okay? You know that scepter represents their authority. All right? So when Jesus says, follow me, the kingdom, the basileia, the authority of heaven is at hand. It's almost as though he was saying, hey, walk with me and you'll see the authority of heaven. Now, wouldn't that get your attention? Can you imagine in the middle of Bray, in the middle of celebration, you've got people that understand their authority. Understand that their body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that we didn't just come in and pray a prayer and ask Jesus into our heart. But the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords lives within us. And Jesus says, from your own belly, what happens? Rivers of living water flow. So my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere I go, my belly has the presence of God, rivers of living water. And I'm with some groups of people from this church community. And we have faith to believe for no rain in the wedding. And we've got faith to believe for healing in your body. And we're that group of people, and we go out into the middle of the crowd, and we see the person that's got the leg that's not working. We see the person that has the arm that's in a cast. We see the blind person that's using the stick to help guide themselves and to keep from tripping on the concrete. And we go over to that person, and we say, hey, follow me. I've got the authority of heaven. What? I've got the authority of heaven. You know, in the United States, there are people that operate in healing, but they use crystals. And they use incantations. You have psychics that people go to have some direction for their future. As a matter of fact, one time, the prophetic gifts were flowing so freely on a Sunday morning in our gathering that we had an individual that had been visiting for a few weeks. How many know just because they're here for a few weeks doesn't mean they're here? They're still checking you out. And we were giving some prophetic words, and they were hitting with great accuracy. And that gentleman was visiting, and he left, and he went home, and he posted to his Facebook page. Because how many know we all use the Facebook page as the bully pulpit, right? He used the Facebook page to say this, psychic. A psychic was released at the house of God today. I'll never go back to that church again. And my staff was furious. And they all went, because God had been using me in prophetic gifts, and they all wanted to come to my defense. And I said, whoa, don't even worry about it. You see, we're at the point in our culture now that when a prophetic gift is released, we actually think we're imitating the world rather than realizing that the world imitates what God gave. How many of you know that a prophet's not a counterfeit psychic, but a psychic is a counterfeit prophet? You know why people go to other people for the direction for their future and for healing in their bodies? They're going to the counterfeit because the church isn't giving them the genuine. Where else can they go? If you just go to a church, three songs, take an offering, walk out the door, wham, bam, and thank you for church service today, we don't need that. We need worship like we were having this morning, where we can encounter His presence. Where the person that comes up to lead us, you can tell she's actually spent time with the Lord. They're singing to Him. And we're preparing a table for Him. And we're worshiping and saying, God, more of You, less of me. You must increase. I must decrease. Let me have Your presence, God. More, Jesus. The kind of place that we host His presence so well that you'll hear people telling stories of, I was healed before they even prayed for me. I remember a few years ago, we had a lady that received healing at our church. And she said, can I come next week and bring my mom? My mom had a double knee surgery, and her knee replacements, they've never fit right. They've never worked right. She's still in tremendous pain. Would you guys pray for her? And we said, we'd be honored to pray for her. And the lady said, but she doesn't go to church here. And we said, we don't care. How many know it's not about a church? It's about the kingdom. It's about Jesus. It doesn't matter what our name is. It's about the Lord. And we're like, bring her. We'll pray for her. You know how good God is? We don't. We don't know how good God is. And we're going to have an eternity to discover how good God is. But just because you don't understand how good He is doesn't mean you can't experience His goodness. I'll just give you one example of His goodness. He so wanted this lady to realize that it wasn't just because we operate in gifts of healing, but that it was about His presence. The next Sunday, sure enough, they pulled up. She pulls into the parking lot. She walks around to the passenger side, which is on the opposite in our country, and opens the door for her mom to get out. And when her mom put her foot on the parking lot, the presence of God went through her body, and her legs were completely healed. She came walking into our service going, praise God, praise God. We didn't even know who this lady was. Who are you? I was coming for healing today and Jesus healed me. It's the authority of the kingdom. It's the beauty of God. Follow me. I'll teach you how to fish for people. Follow me. The authority of heaven is right here. You don't have to go there for healing. Don't go to a psychic for direction. You're going to leave messed up. Don't go to some person that's going to heal you with crystals. When they try to heal you with crystals, they're going to put a demonic stronghold on your body. Don't go there. Don't go looking to the left or looking to the right. Follow me. Here's the kingdom of heaven. Now, you all know that the authority is represented in the scepter. Remember when Esther, her relative said, you need to go to the king because there's been an order given that all the Jews in the kingdom are going to be annihilated. And she said, but the king hasn't called me in for like a month. And if I go and he doesn't raise his scepter, it's instant death for me. And he says to Esther, he goes, well, it doesn't really matter. Who's to say you're going to be kept safe just because you live in the king's household? The order's been given. We're all going to die. She said, okay, fast and pray with me for 3 days. And if I die, I die. And when she, after 3 days, stood at the entrance to the king's chamber, he sees her and he goes, Esther! And scripture says he raised his scepter, which meant she instantly was pardoned. She instantly was allowed to come before him. Let me ask you this. Are we willing to raise our scepter, the authority of heaven, and pardon those in sin? Pardon those that are broken. Pardon those that are hurting. We have the authority. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he was going to go to the Father and that we would do even greater things than he did. Are you kidding me? I mean, think about this. Can you imagine standing in front of someone and going, hi, my name's Brad. And maybe you can't imagine that because your name's not Brad. But fill in name here. Hi, my name's Sean. Hi, my name's Roger O'Malley. And I can do greater things than Jesus. What? You know, if you said that, you would actually be, do we have a Roger O'Malley? No. Okay. Is O'Malley an Irish name? It seems like. How about O'Reilly? If you said that, you know who you would be quoting? Jesus. Jesus. So, we're done, aren't we? Is it 1 o'clock? Yeah, okay, all right. I really didn't. The clock's moving. You said it wasn't going to move, but the clock's actually moving. So I have been paying attention to it. It is time for Bray to start stepping into the new levels of what God's already intended for this church. We've got great books. We've got great resources. We've got great leadership. But I'm going to throw this at you. You already have what you need to bring the authority of heaven right here to Bray. Because what I'm sensing in my heart is it's so much bigger than Bray. You have the authority of heaven because it's supposed to not just be for Bray, but through Bray to a nation of orphans, a nation of hurting people, of broken people. How many of you know you're working with a lot of broken people? There's a nation here that desperately needs what you have. And God, I ask in Jesus' name that you will help us to walk with authority in the kingdom and to walk with compassion. Jesus, we see so often that it says that you were moved with compassion and you healed their sick. There's something about how compassion releases the gifts of healing. And I pray that we would be moved with compassion. And I pray for the men and women of this fellowship. I ask that when they see the broken people and the hurting, that rather than making a quick judgment about them, that they will realize that broken people break people. And hurting people hurt people. So that they can give them what is needed. So they too can be sons and daughters of the King. I thank you. This is a city on a hill. It'll shine. I thank you. This is a place of refreshing and renewal. And I thank you. It's a cold and hot spring for refreshing and healing and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you guys. I'm going to turn it to Pastor Noel. And as soon as he signs off with that, all right. Don't you love how Facebook Live works, that we can expand our ministry with just that little device? It's remarkable. So here you go, twin brother.